Yeah, Matthew chapter 13, verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and he went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked ones. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Heavenly Father, I'm asking for your anointing tonight as we preach. And Father, that you would just open our ears to receive the word of God. Lord, do great things around these altars this evening, I pray. And we'll thank you and give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said, Amen. I want you to listen very carefully to me tonight. I'm going to tell you the main reason that we have divorce in this nation. I'm going to tell you the main reason that we have church splits, that we have church trouble, that we have family-strained relationships. I'm going to tell you tonight that there is a treasure in a field. That's what I want to preach about. There is a treasure in that field. Here is a treasure, the Bible says. It's found in a field. A man searches because it's hid. He searches for that treasure, and he finds it. He says to himself, if I have found treasure in this field, there's no doubt there must be more. Must be more of where this come from. So what does this man do? The Bible says he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys this particular field. Now, suddenly, he finds out a few things about this field. There's not only treasure in this field, but there's also some other things in this field that are not as desirable. He finds out there's some weeds, finds out there's some rocks. He finds out in this field there's maybe some spiders, might be some skunks, might be some possums in this field. Things that he would not benefit from. But in that field, there's a treasure there. But in order to get to the treasure, he has to buy the whole field. Now, in doing so, he may have bought some ants. He may have bought some mice. Might have bought some rats. He might have bought some possums, some raccoons. He might have bought all these things. Perhaps he goes through that field and he finds that that field has garbage in it. He sees that that field maybe has a dead tree in the middle of it. Maybe it's got poison ivy. Maybe he's got some lizards found in that field. He bought all of that because he wanted the treasure. There's treasure in that field. Now, what does a man do when he finds all of those things in his newly bought field? I mean, he bought it for, number one, the treasure. He didn't buy it for any other reason. He bought it because there was treasure in that field. But after he discovers all these other things that go along with the treasure, what does he do with that field? Many folks are doing this because they don't want to mess with the field. They're forsaking the treasure and leaving the field. Do you hear me? They're forsaking the treasure and they're leaving the field. They go over to another field where they think there's treasure in hopes that that field will be in better shape than the field that they have or that they just forsook. Jesus said in verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. That's the key. It's hid. It's not easily found. It's hid. And it's in the field somewhere. But you show me people today that have enough stick-to-itism to stick to buying the field and keeping it secure, and I'll show you a person that's going to make it to heaven. But we're living in a day and age when people want the treasure, but they don't want the things that surround the treasure that go along with that. They want the cake and they want the ice cream, but they don't want to have to work to get to that point. But there is treasure in that field. The problem is this: we're not willing to take what we don't want in order to get what we do want. I said we're not willing to take what we don't want in order to get what we do want. We want the blessings of God, but we don't want to work to get them. We want the power of God, but we don't want to travail in prayer to get it. Amen. There are things in the field that will never be removed that go along with the hid treasure that's in that field. Amen. You see, the treasure is in the field. It's not in a museum. It's not in a shop somewhere. It's not somewhere on a corner that you could purchase it at a very convenient time. That treasure's hid. And in order to get to the hid treasure, you've got to work to dig at that in order to find it. That is likened unto the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God's not a free ride. Now don't misunderstand me, salvation is absolutely free. But after that you're saved, the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The Bible also gives us many instances of where Jesus had given talents to servants, or the master had given talents to the servants. And it was up to the servants to do something with those talents that were given to them in order to advance the kingdom of this profiteer. The same is true in the kingdom of God. After we've been gloriously saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God gives to us severally, as He will, talents and abilities to be able to be used of Him to see the advancement of His kingdom. God uses human vessels in order to see His kingdom go forth. Amen. There's treasure in that field. And so, to get to that treasure, you may be stung by a few wasps. You may have to endure the smell of a few skunks. You may have to endure the pain of a few thorns. Because to get to that treasure, it takes something to get to where you need to go. Amen. But for the most part, we're not willing to accept the negative things in order to get to the treasure. Let me illustrate it this way. We find a friend, and we discover a friendship. And oh, what a treasure that friend is. That friend seems to get along with us. We establish a relationship. That friend we grow closer to them. We get to know them. They get to know us. And the closer we get to the friend, we're going to discover they've also got a field. They may be a treasure, but every friend has their own field. Amen. I'm going somewhere tonight. Just hang on. Buckle in and hang on. We see a few negatives in this friend's life. And if we're not careful, we'll dwell on those negative things instead of on the friendship that we've established. We dwell on those negative things long enough until we say, this friendship really isn't as pretty as what I thought it would be. This friendship really isn't as great as what I thought it was going to turn out to be. This friend really isn't as good as what I thought he or she would be. And as a result, we have the tendency to turn that friend away and go looking for another. You see, God has built within us all the desire to find treasure. You look back to California and the gold rush. I mean, those folks didn't go out there just to vacation. They sold all they had, took their pilgrimage west, and their hopes and intents were to find that yellow substance called gold. It wasn't because they wanted to bring one nugget back east and show their friends what a souvenir they bought or acquired. It was for the purpose of getting rich. Could I tell you, in the spiritual sense, God has created within each of us an inner desire to seek that which is supernatural. That's why even the heathen worship worship gods. That's why even the heathen have set up forms of religion when they know nothing of God. Because nature itself teaches that there is a God. A God is built within man, an intuitive nature, in order to worship a supernatural being. So we've been inbred with that desire to find treasure. And we go from one friend to another. And all of us have known people. And maybe you've been this way in your past. You're a one friend person. You have one friend here and she's your best friend. And you do everything together. But you start getting jealous when your best friend starts hanging around with another best friend. And that best friend and your best friend all of a sudden become best friends. And now your best friend's not your best friend because she's best friend with that other best friend. And when it all comes down to where the rubber meets the road, you find yourself jumping from friendship to friendship because you are looking at the negative things in that person's life instead of dwelling on the treasure itself. You get looking at the field. You get looking at the stubble. You get looking at the skunks. You get looking at the bad odors. You get looking at all these things that are negative in nature, and you forget about the value of the friendship that's there. I'm preaching to you tonight, everybody has a field. You're never going to find the perfect friend. And yet, we constantly are looking for a better treasure. And as a result, we hurt a lot of people because, well, we don't want to be your friend anymore. Now, as older people, we don't do that as much. Young kids do that quite a bit. You know, they even get into the form of paper notations. If you like me, mark here, X. You know, and if they don't mark there, then, well, they don't like them. I couldn't tell you how many times I was turned down by friends. There were girls that I tried to find out if they liked me or not. One was very blatant. She wrote in big block letters, "No." I got the point. You know? So we go from treasure to treasure trying to find the best one that's going to suit us. And I'm here to preach to you tonight. We need to stick with the treasure that's in the field that we've got already. Amen. And treat that treasure right. Amen. Praise God. All of us have fields. We're intrigued. We start friendships. And then we break up with our friend. We get mad at them. We won't speak to them for years or days. Some youth are easier to get over things than sometimes adults are. Don't everybody shout at once. It is a pity that an adult cannot have a friendship because of something that happened years and years and years ago. Brother Brown's got a neighbor that just despises him, won't speak to him. I mean, I don't think they're mortal enemies as far as that goes. I don't think they're the McCoys and who the other ones were. But understand, we get to a place sometimes because somebody's done us wrong. We hold that grudge. Don't you call yourself Christian and you holding grudges now. Well, I'm preaching down the road here. That's right. Jesus said, if you can't forgive others, He won't forgive you. Oh, yeah. It's going to be a long one tonight. Get the second CD ready. Hey, amen. I'm talking about the treasure in the field. When we find that treasure, let's not hop from one field to another, but let's keep that treasure. Amen. We find a church. Oh, what a treasure that is. I love to see new people come to church. I love to see the enthusiasm they have. I love to see the excitement that they have. Man, Pastor, this is the best church we've ever found. We're so glad to be here. They never miss a service. They're faithful all the time. I mean, they're really excited about being in the house of God. Man, we like your preaching. This is the best church. Everybody's so friendly. Everybody's so wonderful. Everybody's so lovely. It's a wonderful experience to come to Wyandotte Tabernacle. Man, we've found the church. We were driving by. God spoke to us. Spirit drew us in here. I mean, we're here to stay. And you've heard the story time and time again. And then they find out the church has a field too. Hallelujah. Because a church is made up of people and everybody has their own field. I'm not minimizing the point. There's treasure here. I firmly believe this is the best church in the United States of America. I believe we've got a great thing going here. I don't say that proud and haughty. I say that humbly. I am telling you, church, we've got a great church. We've got great people. We've got great men and women of God. We've got great young people. We've got great children. We've got great musicians. We've even got a great sound man. That was a weak amen. Hallelujah! But what I'm telling you is this, we've still got a field. There's still some rocks and bumps, even here at the greatest church on the face of the earth. There's still some problems from time to time that surface as we till the ground. There's from time to time, there's still a few skunks that come wandering by, leaving an odorous odor, amen, that just about caused wreaking havoc in the house of God. Understand, when people come to church, they find a treasure, but then they get their eyes off the treasure and they start looking at the field, and pretty soon they're going looking for greener pastures. The grass is greener on the other side of town. The grass is better over there. Amen. My admonition to you is this. Stick with the church. Amen. Oh yes, there might be greener pastures, but every church has a field. It may be a treasure. It may look good, but every church has problems. You will not find the perfect church. We're pretty close to it. But you're not. Woo! But you're not going to find the perfect church. Mm-hmm. Every church has problems. And the problem with church hoppers is they're usually the problem. Yeah. I mean, just hop here and there. I get sick of it, don't you? I've always been wary of people coming and saying, oh, God led me to church. God led me to this wonderful, beautiful church. I'm thinking in my mind, 2 weeks? 2 months? Let's be generous. Let's give them 4 months. If they make it that far, maybe we can get them hitched. Maybe we can get them grounded. I am not talking about souls coming in and being saved. I'm talking about people that get looking elsewhere because they look at the field. They see a skunk there. They see a possum there. The possums play dead. They see deadness in the... The list goes on. The services are too long. The church is too cold. The church is too hot. Sister Brock gets too flustered. I mean, you know, just the list goes on and on and on. It's just, you know, crazy stuff. Some of it just ludicrous. And we get bent out of shape. They didn't treat my kid right in children's church. That Sister Judy was just too hard on my Johnny. I'm just not going to put up with that. I mean, just crazy stuff. That Sister Donna... And that Sister Ann in the back there, just, you know, and that pastor's wife. On and on and on it goes. Pretty soon, we got the binoculars out and we're looking for another church. Am I not preaching right tonight? Yes, sir. Yeah, but every church has fields. Oh, we're single, like Brother Bill Rawson. We got money to jingle. I mean, we're available, and we meet the girl of our dreams. Wedding bells ring. Pretty soon, he's walking down the aisle. He doesn't do like Bill Grimmett does and turn around halfway and go back. He makes a beeline for the altar. He's ready to tie the knot, ready for to say, I do, I will. I mean, he's... And to him, and we've all been there, She is the absolute treasure. Or these young ladies. Crystal. Who one of these days is going to find herself a husband. And Jennifer. Listen, Brother and Sister Curry. It's not going to be very long. At least 20 years. And no, she says. And somebody'll latch on to Brandy here. And after they get married, they'll have a lot of Brandy Isis running around. I mean, and, oh, you three guys think you got left out of it, huh? Yeah, they're growing up. Well, Stephen back here. Somebody look at his physique. Woo, what a treasure. Man, old Brother Roger here just recently married. Liz looked at him and said, man, what a treasure. You know why there's divorce in America? Because people get their eyes off the treasure and start looking at their fields. The honeymoon's over now. Bill Rawson wakes up and looks over and can't decide if he's done the right thing or not. All right, let's quit picking on Brother Bill. Brother Gary looks over. Which way? Where is the exit door when I need it? And she's got curlers in her hair. Never. And wakes up, and he's got curlers in his hair. I mean, things change. I'm going to. Things change. Yeah. After 25 years of marriage, come on now. I mean, he was a dream boat when they got married. Now he sunk the ship. You understand? If you're not careful, you get your eye off the treasure and you'll start looking at the field. Believe me, my wife's got a field. Well, your wife does too. Oh, I'm getting to us in a little while. I'm enjoying myself right now. We've all got fields. We could be critical and say, I don't like the way you do this. I don't like Brother Craig. I don't like the way you do that, Sister Tina might say. Well, there's probably some things she don't like either that you do or don't do. Now, when you get as long married as Brother and Sister Gus, you got it made. Shout now. Hey, but understand, the reason they've stayed together all these years is because he's had to overlook her field and keep his eye on the treasure. That's the problem with the church. That's the problem with relationships. That's the problem with marriages in this world going to pot, is because we start nitpicking. We start criticizing. We start getting our eyes off of what we've really got. And we start looking at their field. There's a treasure in that field. But to get to that treasure, we've got to buy the whole field. What I'm preaching to you tonight is, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Amen. And too many folks have done that. Man, when the pastor first came to be pastor at Wind Up Tabernacle, woo, we had good services. Woo, we had a touch of God. Man, it was wonderful. Now after a year, the honeymoon's over. And some of you have seen my field, because I've got a field. Well, let's not talk about that too much. Oh, we forgot the men, didn't we? Yeah, us men's got a field. Your husband has a field. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. There wasn't no hesitation there. As lovey-dovey as Brother and Sister Carter are. Did you know, Sister Carter? Your husband also has a field. I don't know if it's in Oklahoma or where, but he's got a field. We've all got a field. Brother Wilson, you're not too long down the road wed here to your wife. She's got a field. Woo! Sister Latta, you've got a field sitting next to you. Uh-huh. Yeah. You better shake your head up and down. You'll ruin my message if you don't. Yeah. We've got a field. You young boys, your parents have got fields. And parents, your children sure have fields. And some of them are bigger than others. So what are you going to do? You're going to throw the pastor out because he doesn't do this or do that? You're going to throw the relationship out because they don't do this or that? Or they do this or that? What are you going to do with the treasure? I'm preaching to you, we need to keep the field. Don't get rid of the field. The treasure's too valuable. Amen. Just to throw it away after all these years of serving God. The kingdom of God is likened unto this. A man buys a field because there's a treasure in it. He doesn't just toss it aside because it's got thorns. He plows through that in order to find the treasure. And anything that you do in this relationship status of life, you're going to have to work at it. Should preach this next weekend, Valentine's weekend, shouldn't I? Get your eyes off the field, Brother Brown, and keep it on your treasure. Yeah. Yeah. Marriages will be saved if you'll just follow that simple rule. Well, I can hear it this next week. The pastor said, I'm not to criticize your field. So I'm not going to criticize the fact you don't take out the trash. I'm just not going to criticize the fact that you are late to supper. I'm just... Come on now. Yeah. You're missing the point if you do that. The point is, keep your criticism to yourself. Amen. Get your eyes back on the prize and you won't even notice as much the field. Now what about this treasure? What about treasure? Have you ever gone treasure hunting when you were a kid? Yeah, I did. Sure. We dug, we scraped, we moved rocks. Somebody gave us a bogus map. We looked for treasure. I mean, till the sun set, and we'd go the next day after school, look for it again. Yeah, we've all been there looking for it. And you know what? We didn't mind getting dirty doing it either. We didn't mind having to move big boulders and get down on our knees and scrape the dirt because we were looking for one thing and we had one thing in mind, and that was the treasure that somewhere was buried. Oh, that we would get back to looking for that treasure and get our eyes off the tiddly things that surround the treasure. Amen. If you do that, you'll prosper. If you do that, you'll find that treasure. That'll save your marriage. That'll save your friendship. That'll save your relationship. That'll save you the stigma of being a church hopper. That'll save you a lot of heartache. Watch for the treasure. Don't get your eyes off the treasure. Don't do it. Don't sell it. Don't get rid of it. Don't take it to the swap meet and trade it. Keep your field. You ready to preach? Don't become enchanted. Don't become disenchanted with your church when you find out they have a field. This is what I wrote. Don't become disenchanted with your pastor when you find out he has a field. Or your pastor's wife when you find out she's got a field. Don't become disenchanted with your husband or your wife when they find out you've got a field. This man bought this field. He knew there was treasure in it. And it's worth all of the treasure to stay with that field, Stephen. You've started into that field this morning. Again, don't sell it for anything. There's treasure in that field. That treasure is the kingdom of God. And that is the end of my message. There's treasure in that field. Now, here's what some of you need to do tonight. You need to reestablish and refocus your priorities concerning that treasure. Because some of you may be well on the verge of losing the treasure if you don't keep your eye on it. You sure wouldn't want somebody else to come in and steal that treasure, would you? So what are you going to do? You're going to protect it. Is the treasure worth protecting? Is it? Well, why are you all sitting so far apart then? Woo! 2 points. Brother Noggle said, I've never moved. So Sister Brown can see, isn't that precious? Hallelujah. Woo! Man, I'm having a wonderful time tonight because I want to keep my eyes on the treasure. Woo! Hallelujah. I don't want to lose it. I don't want somebody to come in and steal it from me. I don't want somebody messing with my treasure. Amen. I'm going to hold on to my treasure over here. 15 years of investment in this treasure. 15 years, 16 years going on, plowing that field. I'm going to hold on to this treasure. This treasure right here, I'm going to hold on to her too. Praise God. I'm going to let her go for nothing. I mean, I don't want somebody coming in and taking my treasure away from me. And neither do I want anybody coming in. No devil in hell is going to come in and take away the treasure God's gave me in my heart. That's my salvation. That's the most important thing. If this treasure right here moves, if this treasure right here finds another field, as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. But by the grace of God, we're going to stay in the same field. Same field. Praise the Lord. Well, here's what I'd like to do tonight. We got enough of us here. Families. I want families to come, join hands around the altar. And we're going to pray a prayer of consecration tonight. First off, for our families. Then our marriages. And then for those of you that are single, for your commitment with God. And then all of our commitments with God. But you that are here tonight without family, I want you to join up with a family. Would you do that? Everybody come. Let's gather around the front here. Let's find us a place to stand. Join hands with our family. Praise God. You come and find you a family to stand with. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless God. Bless God.